Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Send the hot takes. Tell me I'm a moron about women's soccer at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N on Twitter. And remember, Tuesday night. Okay, got this right. Tuesday night, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. Make way for what's next when CBS Sports brings you a WNBA showdown between the Washington Mystics and the Los Angeles Sparks. It's only on your 24-hour home of CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. I told the guys while the Ric Flair promo was playing, they actually tried to do that on Jim Cornette's podcast. They tried to figure out, because in that promo, when he's saying, I've spent more money on spilled liquor on bars from one side of the world than the other than you made, he's talking about a guy named Buddy Landell. And so what they did, Hickey was laughing. What they did was they looked back on Buddy Landell, because always wrestlers always lied about how much they made. God rest Buddy Landell's soul, by the way. But they said Buddy Landell might have made $30,000, Ric Flair, $30,000 to $60,000 that year, which was still nice back in the 80s. And Ric Flair was certainly making over $100,000. And they were trying to figure out basically whether or not the liquor was spilled or whether or not they were just bought drinks. Hickey, what's the biggest bar tab you've ever had? Probably like $3.
Wow, are we talking, I guess, solo here, right?
You cash out at the end of the night. Here's the check.
Ooh, probably like $120.
Ooh, look at you with a big bar tab over there.
Oh, yeah, big baller over here. Watch out.
Wow, $120's not bad. How old are you again, Hick?
24.
Oh, that night got away from you, didn't it?
You can say
oh,
that.
Oh, man. You wake up the next morning and saw the thing and went, oh, my God, I cannot believe I spent that much. No, I didn't spend that much.
That Kevin. Night, I mean, when it's that high, it's like, oh, geez, what are you doing
oh,
here?
Oh, God. Kevin, how much did you spend?
I top him. 180, I would say. 180.
Oh,
it was a friend's birthday. And
Jesus.
And one of my friends, he even texted me the next day, what happened last night? My bank account is negative.
Oh, my Jesus. Wait, was it his birthday and his bank account was negative?
No, it was another friend's birthday, but he ended up spending more than me. He went over 200, but I remember that night was
God.
Around 180, and I looked
what
at my...
What are you drinking? What are you pushing?
It's the Irish in me, Ken. That's what it is.
What do you have to drink the top shelf Irish booze? There's stuff at the bottom of the shelf you can have.
Listen, let's just say it was a long night, a lot of fun, but once you wake up, you're hungover, and you look at your bank account, and you just went, man.
You're even more hungover, and then you don't even have money to get the McDonald's in. You got to eat that greasy food when you're hungover in the morning.
McGriddle.
You got to pound it into you. And the worst of the hangovers that are so bad, you feel worse after you eat it, but you know it's better for you. You can't even enjoy the food. Those are the worst. Kevin, you know what I'm talking about. Certainly Hickey does. God, he's probably got a drink in his hand right now, knowing him.
That's allowed, right?
We'll figure it out. 855-212-4CBS. Five burning questions coming up also. Olden Polonese going to join us. Looking forward to that coming up 12:48 p.m. Eastern. Said it 2 weeks ago. I'll get back to the finals and the whole shebang coming up here in a moment. Said it 2 weeks ago. I'll say it again. It's better for Baker to just keep his opinions to his teammates. See, this is what happens when I do this show and I got Pittsburgh people listening. They go, well, you called out Ben Roethlisberger, Ken. Okay. Because when it came to Colin Cowherd and Ben Roethlisberger, I just wondered what was the win for Ben Roethlisberger, or excuse me, for Baker Mayfield. What was the win for Baker Mayfield? What's the win for Colin Cowherd? How much time in the day do you have? When Colin Cowherd and Baker Mayfield go back and forth with one another on Twitter and Colin Cowherd talks about him on his show. Baker Mayfield plays in Cleveland. Colin Cowherd's not even on the radio in Cleveland. He's on TV. You might see him in a doctor's office or a dental office or anything like that. That's not to begrudge Colin Cowherd or his career. It's just pointing out where's your target demo if you're Baker Mayfield. It's still daytime television. It's still daytime sports talk television. And in sports talk's world, Colin Cowherd's a Hall of Famer, untouchable, and a very brilliant guy, no matter what I want to say. And it's even more brilliant because he has put in his crosshairs a guy who will go back and forth with him. If he went after Sam Darnold, no one cares. Sam Darnold's a quiet guy. You can't go after Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's a quiet guy. I can't rip Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck doesn't say anything. Baker Mayfield is the dog behind the fence that is almost away from the chain. The difference is that the dog can actually bite you. For Baker Mayfield, if Baker Mayfield and the Browns go and win a Super Bowl this year, Colin Cowherd's not going to stop doing his radio show. So it just starts all over again. If Colin Cowherd is quote-unquote proven wrong somehow and Baker Mayfield goes and wins a Super Bowl, he'll just continue to talk. And eventually, there's going to be a rough year. Could be a rough year this year. There's going to be a rough year in there somewhere. It'll still be a radio show. He'll still comment on those. Baker Mayfield lives in a world where there's wins and losses, and those are measured publicly. The rest of us don't do that. People see some ratings. Richard Deitch reports on them here and there. But really, it's about advertising. It's about moving revenue and getting people to think. That's basically what it is. That's the world Colin Cowherd lives in. That's the world we live in. And again, it's another win for Colin Cowherd when I'm on Saturdays on CBS Sports Radio and I'm talking about a guy who's on every single day on Fox Sports 1. That's a win for him. What's the win for Baker Mayfield? And it's now become the same way with Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson's their third-team running back, or will be their third-team running back halfway through the year as long as everybody stays healthy. I had Michael Irvin on our show yesterday morning. I was actually shocked, Michael Irvin being a Miami alum, what Michael Irvin had to say about Duke Johnson. This is 88 yesterday on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland.
I hold the rule of thumb in that matter. You know, if you don't want to be here, you have every right to not want to be here, but you have every right to stay away from camp, to not come in. I don't care if you're under contract or not. I don't want to be there. I'm not coming in. Please trade me or whatever. Once you bring your buddy in, and you know I love Duke Johnson, he's from the U. But once you come in, buddy, you committed to me. I understand before you get on the football field, you're committed to your family, you're committed to the contract, whatever you want. But once you say yes and once you get on that field, then we have to be about our business. You know, that's why if you hold out, I won't say anything because you're doing your business. But once you sign and once you come in, then we are about winning championships. And the rule is you stay away from people's money. But in that situation, Duke's on the field. We're all on the field. Let your agents take care of all of that. Come out here, put in all the work, because we're committed to each other. We're not committed to a front office. We're not committed to your agent. You're committed to one another. That's why the KD stuff, when you watch what KD did, he came back because of that commitment to his team. And everybody's talking about, what did he do that for? I mean, everybody that says that, never got a championship. That's why they never got a championship. Once you're on this field, once you're on that court, you commit to the team, and that's that.
I love Michael Irvin so much. I was shocked to hear that because the entire last week, it had been nothing but Miami people. Uncle Luke was talking about it. Luther Campbell was talking about it, cussing out Baker Mayfield on Twitter. His wife is Duke Johnson's agent. It got very nasty. And the NFL Network, and the reason I asked Michael Irvin that question, the NFL Network, they had a report that comes out and says that players were questioning Baker Mayfield and went and confronted Baker Mayfield or talked to Baker Mayfield about his comments over Duke Johnson. And my problem with the entire thing of this is that it's a week and a half later, and we are approaching a time in the NFL here where Baker's going to have to learn that we're approaching a time in the calendar where we're looking for anything. I spent an hour on women's soccer the other day about them running up the score and how I loved it and how I wish they would have scored even more goals because it would have made everybody else upset. We're going to talk about equal pay. We're going to talk about women coaching in the NBA. We're going to talk about all those things. It's the summertime. We're looking for anything. And a week and a half later, the NFL Network has reports that, well, some of the players, some of his teammates were upset with Baker because of what he said publicly about Duke Johnson's contract and how it was interpreted. Because there's people all over the country. I can't believe Baker Mayfield sided with management. Baker Mayfield, in his comments, didn't side with management. He said if Duke Johnson wants to go, basically don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Management wants to hold on to Baker Mayfield. But it's not seen that way. And here we are a week later, a week and a half later, having conversations and doing topics on Baker Mayfield and his conversations and whether or not Baker Mayfield's mature, whether or not Baker Mayfield has what it takes to be a franchise quarterback. Really crazy long-term stuff over one answer of one question during a media availability session on a Tuesday morning in late May, early June. It's something that I hope Baker Mayfield shares with his teammates. I don't want him to share it with the media. I know it's a different level. Baker Mayfield's a different type of leader. Maybe I'm going to have to get used to it over time. Maybe the rest of the NFL is going to have to get used to it. The NFL media, fan base are going to have to get used to it over time. But right now, the way we all take it is that you're writing a lot of checks. And every single time we hear you talk and we blow it out of proportion, which this absolutely has been blown out of proportion, it just adds more pressure. What Baker Mayfield said in the media, Duke Johnson's best option is to show up for work and to do his job and get a chance to be traded to a team that's going to be another contender that can use him, or show up, do his job during camp, wait for somebody to get hurt, and then be traded to that team and get himself another contract. He wants paid again. He's upset because they went with Kareem Hunt. That's understandable. I totally get where he's coming from there. But that's still his best option, and I feel at the end of all of this, it's not going to have a consequence on whether or not the Browns beat opponents or not. But they are definitely one of the teams that have the most pressure on them, and every time there's a conversation, whether it be a Colin Cowherd or whether it be a Duke Johnson, it just adds more pressure. You're getting to a point where a team that hasn't made the playoff in 16 years, kids can legally drive, hasn't won a division since 1989, there are people who were born and died since then, you better make the playoffs or it becomes a disaster. Because this type of stuff, it doesn't have a bearing on what's going to go down between the lines. It will have a bearing when we talk about this after the season. All those things I said about Ben Roethlisberger, I wish I could say different. They do equate here. Because there was plenty of conversation with Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley before and Mike Tomlin in that division where it doesn't matter about what happens in the field. But we take that and use that when that team fails. I did it last year myself, and if the Browns fail to make the postseason this year, where else am I going to go with it? 855-212-4CBS. Up next, five burning questions. Olin Paul Neeson at 1240. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ryan, it's time. Five burning questions. Let's do it, baby.
All right, so let's get into it. So, as we talked about basically through the first half of the show, the Raptors won the championship. So now the attention of the NBA moves to the offseason. And going back, obviously, Kevin Durant ruptures Achilles tendon, out for next season. Klay tore his ACL, out for probably at least three quarters, maybe all of next season as well. Both have the chance to become free agents. Klay obviously will be unrestricted free agent. KD has to opt out. So despite these injuries, where they might probably both at least miss next year, will both of them get max deals?
Yeah. I know that they have talent. Now, with Kevin Durant, I thought Sam Amigo brought up a good point. You're going on 31, 32. It's an Achilles rupture. I don't know if you come back the way you were, but I think that there's always a James Dolan out there who's willing to give a max deal. And for Klay Thompson, it's an ACL. He's a catch-and-shoot three guy. I don't need Klay Thompson to dunk. Who needs Klay Thompson to dunk? Is Klay Thompson known for his great dunking abilities? No. I know that he got hurt trying to dunk, so it's even more of an incentive to never dunk again. Klay Thompson will definitely get a max. Next.
All right, we'll stick with the NBA as, again, now focusing our attention next year. The betting odds came out as to who will win the next year's 2020 NBA Finals. The Lakers, in some sports books, are the favorite at plus 400 next year. And following suit are the Bucks and Clippers at plus 600. The Raptors, defending champions, are plus 800.
What is the reasoning behind this? Do they feel Kawhi's going to go to the Lakers?
I don't know. Maybe AD gets traded to
AD gets traded to the Lakers?
Probably
Kawhi. I've never tested. I don't know. By the way, I don't know how great that's going to be. Anthony Davis has really never been tested in the postseason. Like once. That's it. How long has Anthony Davis been in the league? Like, I know he's a great talent, and he's still relatively young. But I don't put him in the pantheon of those other ones. Like, he's a 1% talent. I don't know if he's a 1% player yet. So I don't know if he's got the guts to go through a Western Conference. I don't know if he's got what it takes to really get him over the top. I know he's got the talent, but can he get them to where they need to go? I don't know if he does. Next.
Oh, okay. We won't even answer.
Well, what did you want me to say? What else did you want me to say?
Well, I was going to ask you who you think the favorite should be next year, but listen, that's
Who the favorite should be next year.
Who you think the favorite should be.
It ain't Golden State. It ain't the Lakers. I still want to give the Raptors credit. I still want to say the Raptors are the favorite going into next year. Is that wrong? Am I wrong to say that? If they keep Kawhi Leonard?
If he stays, no.
How many teams do you have a chance to win a championship right now? Considering moves and everything. Toronto, do you still have to put Golden State in the top five? Because those guys should be back by the time the playoffs start. They'll still be a playoff team, won't they?
Oh, they'll be a playoff team. Right.
Okay. Clay
will come back maybe
in
March.
So Golden State, Toronto, Golden State.
Milwaukee?
Houston?
No?
Definitely Milwaukee. Milwaukee's in the mix. Houston? Houston? Portland?
Clippers, if the Raptors leave, out, right?
If Kawhi leaves Toronto and goes to the Clippers, I got to take Toronto out of there. But there's probably an argument right now you can make for four, five, maybe even six teams. Next.
All right, so we'll do a little NFL here. As early in the week, the NFL announced a few tweaks to their very interesting pass interference rules.
A little bit of NFL, yeah.
They announced that the replay official will initiate all pass interference penalties under 2 minutes of each half, plus overtime. They tried to give it to the coaches to have them challenge, but the coaches pushed back for strategy-wise, and the NFL said in its update that they would like replay officials to, quote, use stricter criteria than for other reviewable plays, end quote, so the game doesn't stop too often. Now, also another big part of this is Hail Mary plays. They are also subject to review, as the NFL wants their replay officials to, quote, have consistent with guidelines for officiating the plays on the field. So is it a smart idea for the NFL to have replay officials initiate pass interference calls?
Is it all throughout the entire game where replay officials initiate pass interference calls?
No, this is just the last 2 minutes and all of overtime. The rest is up to the coaches.
Correct. So say I'm down 14-0 real quick. What's stopping Bill Belichick from throwing a Hail Mary? You get what I'm saying,
Hail
right
Mary.
Now?
Oh, yes.
To jump right back into the football game. Say Patriots get themselves down 14-0 week one. The ensuing drive, they get it to the 50-yard line. It's second down 10. Tom Brady just launches one down to the one. Pass interference. There you go. What's stopping?
Part of the unintended consequences of making this rule.
What am I missing? I got to be missing something because that seems to be way too easy. What am I missing?
Well, the only thing I can think of is that with Hail Marys, the defense usually expects it coming, so they'll have three or four or five guys in the end zone.
They wouldn't expect it coming at second and 10 in the 50.
Exactly.
At the 50.
So then it's maybe there's two or three guys, that, you know, just the defenders that are chasing
but if they
receivers
don't,
that are going deep.
If they don't expect it coming, then you're going to have a better shot at pass interference down there.
Yeah,
I
think it's part of the whole unintended consequences of making this rule. And
exactly. So I can get if I'm down 14-0, that's a touchdown. I can jump back in real quick. Then I get a turn. If I get a turnover, I force a punt on the ensuing drive. 14-7, it's a touchdown difference. We're still in the first quarter. I got the ball back. We're rolling now. I'm down by a score. The Patriots, anybody in the NFL can come back from that. So I'm just throwing it out there to everybody. I got to be missing something here because that seems way too simplistic to me. Go ahead. Next.
All right, we'll go your neck of the woods as the Cleveland Cavaliers made some history as they hired Lindsey Gottlieb.
And real quick, if an idiot like me can think about that right off the top of my head, there has to be something that I'm missing because you would think a competition committee would think about that and go, I don't know if that's the best idea. Maybe we should always leave it up to a replay official. Right?
Right, and
maybe
why? How come you should be able to challenge? If there's no flag on the play, why do you think it's a good idea to have a judgment in the eyes of the officials, a judgment call, then be replayed and basically use someone else's judgment to determine if there's pass interference or not? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It certainly does.
Might be a whole more bad than good with that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No worries. So like I said, Lindsey Gottlieb hired as an assistant coach by the Cleveland Cavaliers. She was the head coach for the Cal women's basketball team. First woman ever to make the leap from college to the NBA. She was at Cal for 8 years. She made 7 NCAA tournament appearances and made a 2013 run to the Final Four. So do you think we'll ever see a woman head coach in the NBA in the next 20 years?
Oh, I do. I think we'll probably see it within the next five, maybe within the next three. I still say the same thing for her that I say for Becky Hammon. I don't know. Well, for Becky Hammon, I think it's a little bit different for her. Because I think Becky Hammon is a good assistant, has proven herself to be a good assistant with a good organization. And it should be the same thing with Mike Brown. Steve Kerr is a little bit different, but maybe with Mike Brown, where you should get to choose a good situation. Not just go, there's plenty of teams out there that fire coaches and they're just bad organizations. They're going to fire the next coach. And when we get the argument about Becky Hammon, people always take it the wrong way. Well, Ken, she's a woman. She can coach. That's what I'm saying. She should be able to pick a good situation for her. And then the other half gets mad because they wanted to earn it somehow. If I don't have to eat dog crap, why should I eat it? If I don't have to coach the Phoenix Suns, why should I coach them? I think Becky Hammon has that choice. I don't know if Lindsey Gottlieb does. She just got hired. There was a question, though, with John Beilein being a college coach. Are you putting too many college people around? I fear, because my major fear with a college coach, just like anybody else, is does it translate to the NBA? I think that thought permeates around NBA guys as well. So if you have grizzled NBA coaches in there who are assistants for a guy like John Beilein, can they usurp the power from John Beilein because they're NBA guys? Do they take them seriously? I don't know. I think that's a questionable thing. But if you have somebody else who's worked with young people, you give that a chance, it might have a chance to work, or at least as successful as a 19-win team could be next year. 25 wins, back in the lottery, maybe it's something like that. As successful as a team that's trying to rebuild like the Cleveland Cavaliers can be, but will still ultimately fire John Beilein and the rest of his staff in a couple of years anyway. Next.
All right, last one here. We'll do a little MLB All-Star Game voting as the game, or the voting is underway, excuse me. And despite having a pretty successful season, the Rays only have one player, Austin Meadows, that's in the top three as a respective position in terms of fan voting. Now, Tommy Pham, very furious with these results so far. She told The Athletic, quote, "We won't get credit, man. It's always unfair. Big market versus small market. It's never going to be fair," unquote. Now, is this a Rays problem, or is this a bigger, larger MLB issue that they have to be worried about?
Is Tampa really a small market, Tampa St. Pete? Is it a quote-unquote small market? They got three pro sports teams.
Look at the attendance every night.
But that's what I'm saying. Is it a market thing? I don't know if it's market. I just don't think your fans care. Your quote-unquote fans. I don't think they care. I can't say you're a small market. It looks like it's a large market. How big is the metro of Tampa Bay St. Pete? Is it top 10? Can you look that up? Can anybody look that up real quick?
Give me 2 minutes.
Okay. Even. 2 minutes? Jeez, that's a long time.
They have 2.78 million people in Tampa Bay. Let me see where that ranks.
In Tampa Bay. And that's in Tampa, Florida?
Correct.
Okay. It's got to be, with them and St. Petersburg, it's got to be top 15, I would assume, right? With that entire market? Because they call it Tampa Bay. It's not just Tampa because of St. Pete. I'm sorry you don't have much of a fan base. I know it sucks. I don't know. Get people traded. Get out of there. There's nothing else I can say. I know you bitched last year because you didn't get into the postseason, and you should have gotten to the postseason because of the record, but you didn't, and now you're not getting in the All-Star game. You got a good team. I'm sorry that it seems that some people do care outside of Tampa Bay, but your own area doesn't give a damn about you. It really is a shame. And that's probably why the team should move at some point. Hate to say it, but it's true. Anything else to add there, Hickey, or are we done?
No, I'm good. I have nothing else to add.
Fabulous, baby. That is Five Burning Questions. Up next, Olden Polony's going to join us. Former NBA player, current Fox Sports NBA analyst, and also at 1:20 p.m. Eastern. Folks, they're paid pros. They're paid to entertain and win, not to spare your feelings.
This is the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Tweeted us at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N. Hickey, I got something to ask you at the break, but we got to get to business because the NBA Finals are over. Free agency is just about upon us. To talk about it all, we welcome in Olden Polonese. Find him on Twitter at Olden Polonese, 15-year NBA vet. Current analyst for Fox Sports, NBA analyst for them, obviously. Olden, thanks for joining us this morning. Or I should say this afternoon, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Olden, first off, all right, your general thoughts of the NBA Finals. What did you think?
Very intriguing. You know, there's going to be so many dynamics being thrown out there. You know, should there be an asterisk with the championship win by Toronto? And I always said there shouldn't be any asterisk. You play with what you have, and that's the bottom line. It's kind of like, you know, in a relationship, you know, sometimes, you know, you lose the woman the way you got her. And so the Warriors won several championships when other teams weren't at full strength. So now, you know, they got snake bit. And it's unfortunate. You know, I would have loved to see in the finals, you know, with two fully stacked teams, but we got what we got. And again, it's just a tough situation for the Warriors. You know, based on their long run, there are consequences to a long run. You know, you got to look at it like this. The Warriors have actually played seven NBA seasons within a five-year stretch. Mm-hmm. And that wears and tears on the body. And, you know, unfortunately, it came in the, you know, in the sense of Durant tearing his Achilles and Clay tearing his ACL. But overall, I thought Toronto did exactly what they were supposed to do. They showed the league the blueprint on how to beat the Warriors, you know, which is pound them inside and be very aggressive and use their strengths against them. You know, the Warriors were really good at switching, and the Raptors, you know, they went into straight pick and rolls knowing that the Warriors would be aggressive in their switches, and right before it happened, they would always slip the pick, you know, or, you know, the Warriors wouldn't get the switches that they normally get, a lot of confusion. So they put them in a lot of tricky situations that the Warriors weren't used to.
Owen Paul and East joining us on the show. You talked about how many more games that they had to play over that period of time. Do you think that this is why we're going to see a lot more of the quote-unquote load management games where guys take games off? Because Kawhi had that a little bit this year, and obviously it's paid off in the long run. I know the league wants guys to play during the regular season. People pay money to go see it, this, that, and the other. But, man, I can't argue with results.
Well, I don't know if it's more so much load management, because the Warriors did their own version of load management is by blowing teams out and Steph, you know, and all those guys resting a whole quarter at a time. And so I don't think it was so much that. It was the fact that the Raptors did something that a lot of teams were afraid to do. You know, they didn't play the Warriors style of basketball. You know, yeah, they can shoot threes, but they also put the ball on the ground, which is hard for the Warriors to defend. They were very aggressive, very physical defensively. And so they just took it to them. And Nick Nurse got a lot of credit for really out-coaching Steve Kerr. That boxing one was genius. You know, it looks silly watching an NBA game with a boxing one, but that's what you got to do. You got to basically pound Steph Curry into the ground. And they knew that. Once KD was out, they knew what they had to do. Limit Clay and Steph and let everybody else, you know. So what? Iguodala makes a shot. So what? Draymond makes a three. But it wasn't going to be consistent.
Do you think that this might have an impact on Kevin Durant's free agency and the thought of maybe he comes back to the Golden State Warriors? Because, boy, Bob Myers crying. I'm not even making a joke. Like, that's love right there. They're showing love. And I thought all year long he ended up kind of being a scapegoat for the media and for some of their fans out there.
Yeah, it's been, you know, unjust, because Kevin Durant's a hell of a player. And I've always said this. What Kevin Durant did for the Warriors was pretty much make them unbeatable. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he made life easy for Steph and Clay and Draymond. And that's what they need to appreciate. Whether he stays or goes, you still got to appreciate what he brings to your team, as great as he is. But I do believe that the injuries could be a blessing in disguise, because you don't want to go into a new situation coming off an Achilles tear. And so the Warriors are the team, the organization that could handle that. You know, they can gradually bring him in, similar to what they did with DeMarcus Cousins. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that, and the fact that they have the history. But I've never seen a general manager come to near tears the way I saw Bob Myers. And that was really intriguing to me. You know, we always say that this is a business, but sometimes emotions come into play. And I saw a human moment with Bob Myers and how he felt about not only Kevin and also when Clay got hurt. So it's a tough situation.
Oh, and I know you
have nothing. What's that?
Yeah. No, I couldn't believe it because the next morning there were people. Oh, come on, those are crocodile tears. I go, man, if he was acting, he shouldn't be in the basket. He shouldn't be in basketball. He should be in Hollywood.
He should not be. He should be in Hollywood.
That was strong.
If that was an act. He should be in Hollywood.
Olden Paul and East joining us on the show. Okay, so what is the next move for Kawhi Leonard now? I wanted to wait. I wanted to give Toronto their credit, but now I got to ask the question: What's the next move for Kawhi?
You know what? I think he had a move in tow if they didn't win, but I seriously don't think he leaves now. It's a tough situation. Why would you leave that situation? And sometimes that's why I always say, why do guys want to do that? Kevin Durant's in a great situation right now. Why do you want to leave? Regardless of where I want my own team, I want to do, you know, I want a new challenge. No, the new challenge should be, how many championships can I win with this team? And it's the same with Kawhi. What do you do now? Well, you can always leave because that's your option, but you get the most money in Toronto. You have now you have a country behind you, not a city, a country. Why would you leave? Again, what challenge is it? You want to just be the first guy to do it with three different franchises? I don't know, but it's a tough situation. What we have to look at is not the Kawhi situation. I think it's going to be predicated on what Masai Ujiri does. Because the Wizards are about to throw big money at him, so yeah. If he leaves, then I think Kawhi leaves as well.
Do you think part of this? This is an interesting thing you just brought up, real quick. I'm sorry to jump in, Olden, but you mentioned why would Kawhi leave? And I asked the same thing. I think a lot of fans do. Do you think now LeBron does it in 2010, Durant does it a few years ago? Do you think some players kind of want to do it because they can, just because they can, instead of really thinking it out?
Well, we got to go back. LeBron did it because he was chasing a ring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Kawhi got traded and because of the situation in San Antonio. They just, you couldn't repair that, you know, because he felt that they questioned his manhood. And I spoke about this early last year. It's like once they questioned his toughness and manhood, it was over. He had to go. He did not want to be in that organization. Kevin Durant left again. He was chasing a championship, and he felt like he couldn't do it, you know, with Russell Westbrook and OKC. Kawhi doesn't have to go chase championships. That's what I'm saying. It's a different component right now for Kawhi, more than anybody. Just like Klay doesn't have to leave to go chase a championship. He's got enough championships. It would have to be like, I need a different challenge altogether. You know, can I bring this team? Like if Kawhi said it goes to the Clippers, who's never won a championship, now we can start talking about it. And Kawhi ends up coming here and he gets them a ring. Oh, he's got to be one of the greatest ever because this guy's a championship getter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those kind of things that you got to look for if that's what they're looking for. But that's the difference to me. Kawhi is not chasing a championship right now. It's just going to be a matter of what does he want to do? Does he want to stay in Toronto and build a legacy there? Or does he want to be the championship whisperer, so to speak?
Vet, Fox Sports analyst, NBA analyst, Olden Paul and East joining us on the show. Find him on Twitter, Olden Paul and East 1. Well, do you think that it may be that Golden State, with how they are, I mean, five straight runs to the finals, they've won three out of five. Is this the last dynasty based on what you just told me about player movement?
Pretty much from what we've seen, you know, as far as dynasties. I mean, these guys grew up together, and people don't give them enough credit. The Warriors didn't go outside of KD. All these guys were drafted and brought in, and they kind of built this thing up to where they were. And that's got to be – it's very commendable how they did that. You know, their front office, how they brought in players that got along. And so to me, you know, that's the end of that aspect of a dynasty. But it's a semi-dynasty. You know, there's only been one dynasty in basketball, and that's the Boston Celtics of the 60s. You know, so – but that's the closest we've gotten. You know, the Bulls did six, you know, with Jordan, but they were spread out over 8 years. So – It's tough. It's tough to win. There's a reason why teams don't three-peat. It's too much work. And so it's a tough situation. And guys, again, with the load management that you mentioned, it's just tough to get players to really understand how difficult this thing really is sometimes.
Olden, I thank you very much for the time, my friend. I could have went on forever. We got to go. I thank you very much. All the best, and hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. You take care.
Thank you. You too. Olden Polonese, former NBAer, 15-year vet, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Follow him on Twitter at OldenPolonese1. I still wonder, though. I know what he's saying. Maybe they want another challenge. And if we say everything's about a ring, and people brought this up about LeBron, if there were times during LeBron's career, 7 years in Cleveland, 4 years in Miami, 4 years in Cleveland again, now going on to L.A., what would it have been if you were to drop him in, parachute him in on any one of these teams? Could he take one of these teams and take them to the finals? With what he did in 07, and honestly, what he did last year in 18, now I don't know what it is for the future, but during that time, you could say yes. And so is it a different challenge? I still wonder, will there be guys? And I think there's part of this is the truth. And I wonder if it's because of Kyrie, not because of Kyrie, but if Kyrie's part of it. Where you've had LeBron go chasing a championship, Kevin chasing a championship, Kyrie wanting out because he wanted out, forcing his way out. Other guys, hey, it's a different climate now. Once you're with a team, you're with a team for a long time. Maybe you were with them your entire career. It's not a lifetime guarantee anymore. We are players. We are empowered. It's a different era. We have different power than we've ever had before. We can do this now. Where a guy might just leave because he's tired of playing in a place. He's just tired of playing there. He doesn't want to go there. And that's why I brought up the question earlier. And I'm glad I asked Olden Polonese, because he obviously has a much stronger opinion about dynasties than I do. Are we seeing the last dynasty with Golden State? I consider Golden State a dynasty. 5 straight runs to the finals, 3-2 during that run, 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 before this last one where they lost to Toronto. I give that credit. I'm not that harsh of a critic about it. But this could be the very last one, because you might see Kyrie get bored with a new place, Kevin Durant get bored with a new place. If Giannis ends up leaving, I hope he doesn't, he gets bored with a new place. This could be just the beginning of a different type of NBA. It adds more parity, but at what cost? 855-212-4CBS. Up next, what I'm about to tell you about Steph. It isn't fair, but it's true.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.